I'm going to continue with our theme, Authentic Christianity, Praying Community, Corporate Prayer. And the title for today is Many Workers in His Harvest Field. I thank God for His love for us and what He continues to do. Some people don't like to talk about some things, but it comes anyway. That's why many people I know don't have wills. If you talk about a will for them, they say, oh, you want me to die? As if they won't die. And then in the past, some people have gone to kings and said, oh, king, live forever. Knowing full well that those kings will not live forever. The only king that lives forever is Jesus. So, you know, we are called to pray, to believe in Him, ask Him to forgive us, and to make us who He wants us to be, and lead us. So we are not afraid of death. If He says, come today, yeah, it's all good. Don't you see what women know and men? A woman is pregnant, wants to have a child. They buy things. I remember our first child, our children. The room was smelling of, we prepared everything. You know, it was as if it was a crime if I went into the room with the dirty slippers. The baby wasn't even born then. We bought everything, arranged the towel, the cream, you know, the food, the baby formula. And then the baby was born. Started crying as if I was coming to suffer here. So, if God says we know we go to Him, so let's just get the criteria right for getting there. Having faith in Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive us, and then when it's time, we go. What we don't like, what will not happen to us, is premature death. If it's not my time, I'm not going. But a day will come when He will say, as you come. And Jesus has defeated the last enemy. That's death. So we shouldn't be afraid. We should just trust Him for this present. Have faith in Him. Ask Him to forgive us our sins. And to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Some musicians have turned it. They say, let the rain fall. When they say, let the rain fall, and they're inside the house, they are meaning, let the Holy Spirit come. The rain of God. The goodness of God. The oil of God. At times you use the wine. Okay. We thank God. God loves you. He loves you. Many workers in His harvest field. I remember at a meeting in our house many years ago, early in the 90s, a woman asked me, he said, Tim, why is it that these days we don't have many miracles and healings like in the time of the disciples, the New Testament church? She was claiming that maybe they had a special dispensation then to establish the church and that it's no longer needed today. So I looked at her, I said, when last did you pray for somebody? She said she couldn't remember. So I said, if you don't pray for somebody, you won't even know if there's a miracle or not. That's why. You don't pray, you don't get miracles. And then she looked at me. She said, oh yeah, it's true. But the same attitude is held by many Christians about evangelism. That's telling others about Jesus. You know, but if you look at it, it's really a way of justifying complacency. I'm okay, but I don't mind what happens to everybody. Or fear, or failure. See, the society is judged as not caring. They don't care about God. Those people out there don't care about God. They don't care about the state of their souls, about the judgment to come, about the need for salvation, you know, from sin and hell. So it has led many people to become discouraged. and have given up sharing the gospel to non-believers around us, even to members of their family. Some people are not objective. You know, because you have a brother and you are a Christian, do you think because he's your brother, he will make heaven? Because I'm a Christian and my father is not a Christian, that doesn't give my father passport to heaven. The only person that gives you the passport to heaven is Jesus. So pray for your brother. Pray for your son. Pray for your daughter. Don't give up. Okay, I've been praying for a long time. I'm tired. No, God brought you to them or made them related to you for that purpose. Do not give up. Keep praying. It may just be at the point of death. They will say, Jesus, forgive me. You won't even hear. Then you will spend your life here, 120 years, and then go to heaven. And you meet them. Then, wow, you made it. I said, I called on Jesus last moment. Thank God. Jesus is the one who makes us get to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Some people, when they want to, you want to talk about their... I remember another lady who, you know, we mentioned about fire in hell. She said, no. She said there was no fire in hell. Is there in the Bible? Well, God has put you and I here to tell people to repent of their sins. He doesn't want people to go in there. I was going in there and Jesus saved me. You were going there and Jesus has saved you. Not for you should be comfortable, but for you to tell others as well. Get them out to Jesus. Say, come to Jesus. There are many ways of telling people to come to Jesus. Either you tell them, or you do like Steve. You invite them to come and hear. You bring your family. You bring your friends. That was what Andrew did. Andrew was the first person that saw Jesus. They went to meet the brother Peter. Come and see, I've seen Jesus. Brought Peter to Jesus. And it was Peter that the Lord used to build his church. So, Andrew was cool with it. Andrew was okay. He did his job. So, brothers and sisters, when people are discouraged and not talking to Christians, to non-Christians around us, the question we must ask ourselves is, how will people care, when nobody has told them? How will they take things seriously when we have not told them about Jesus? The Bible says, how will they hear when you have not told them? How will they believe when the word has not been brought to them? God has called you and I to reach out to them, to take seriously the command of Jesus to be his witnesses in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus wants us to be. So, brothers and sisters, what must we do? Seeing that the world is out there. You know, when we say out there, they are not far. Not far. They may be members of your family. I remember the day I went to, I went to meet my grandma. My grandma was a matriarch. She was feared. She was highly respected, you know. I went to her. I told her about Jesus. She was going to church before my mother was born. There was I, a small boy, going to her to say that she had to give her life to Jesus. I told her about hell. I told her I wanted her to trust in the Lord Jesus. When she listened to me, then she knelt down. She said, I should pray for her. You never know. All you have been called to do is to obey. Obey. Talk to your child. Pray. Talk to your parents. Pray. Your love for your parents doesn't get them to heaven. Your love for your child doesn't get your child to heaven. All your love for your child should do is for you to pray and talk to your child about Jesus and keep praying so that your child will one day, or your father or your sister, maybe they will try to do it so that you don't see them. They will now open their heart. Jesus help me. Help me. Forgive me my sins. Make me the person you want me to be. And then that will be the beginning of the rest of their lives. The beginning of transformation, encouragement, blessings, assurance of the presence of the Creator with you. Wow. The Creator says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So, what must we do? Let us ask Jesus. Let us turn our Bibles, if we can, or just look at the screen and read our main text for today, Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You can see where the title it comes from, verse 38. Many workers in his harvest field. So, the Lord's remedy, Jesus' remedy from what you have seen on the screen is, one, pray that many workers will come to the harvest field. We need to take seriously the call to pray, both corporately and individually. Effective prayer will make all the difference. Not, oh Lord, send that person. Oh Lord, send Andy. No, I say, oh Lord, send me and send Andy. You know, Lord, what effect is prayer if you don't obey? It's nothing. It's just talk. Like someone saying they're coming, bringing lunch to you. That's a good thing to say, not so. And then they don't turn up. And you are hungry. And you had the ability to get lunch for yourself, but they said they are bringing lunch. And they will even bring some juice as well. And the type of delicacy that you like. You say, when are they coming? They come at from 12. You say, that's okay. I normally eat at 2. I warm it up. I have a microwave. And they don't turn up. You are now looking out through the window. Cars are passing. A car passes, it looks similar to theirs, and it goes past. It's not theirs. That's like praying without even acting. Okay? God has called us to pray, but I also pray for ourselves. Effective prayer, the Bible says, it avails much. So that I will do what Christ has asked me to do. Let us look at, Matthew 10, verse 1. See here, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. Verse 7. As you go, he said, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So, Jesus said, just putting it in two words, he says, pray and go. Pray and go. This is what the visitation team offers people on the doors. We tell them about Jesus and we offer to pray for them for anything. And we pray for them. I'm not a healer. I've never told you I'm a healer. Jesus said, I should pray. And I've seen many breakthroughs through obeying him. He is the healer. I am just to obey. He has all the weapons. Don't you see the scandal of Christianity? There's someone that needs to be sacrificed, that needs to die for sin. If I had chosen to die, God would have said, no, it's not good enough. You are not good enough. But Jesus died. And then, when you believe, he says, you are crucified with him. Wow, just by believing in him and asking him to forgive you and being a Christian, you now have that label that you have been crucified with Jesus. Whereas You don't know what nail is on your head, or crown of thorns, or being crucified. That's what Jesus wants us to have. Just free. Only believe in me, repent of your sins. I will bless you. Praise the Lord. You know, God has called us, you know, outreach, to reach out to people, to tell them about Jesus. That is more, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? When we go out on doors, we have what Jesus suffered too, what the disciples suffered. At times, people say, I don't want to know. Other times, I don't care. But sometimes, they listen. But each time, we offer them prayers. We offer them, you know, we ask them to ask questions. And we pray for them. I remembered in our previous church that we planted out from, I was in charge of evangelism, and we got together to pray before going out. And one of the leaders said, Lord, we will not pray. We will pray, you know, tell us when to go. We will not live here until you send us out. So what? So I just didn't have to put up a prayer, eyes closed, I'm rolling my eyes inside. And you came to go pray and go out, and you say, Lord, you won't go out until when he sent you. He has already sent you. On another occasion, people prayed and they wanted to stay back. I said, no, let's close the meeting, let's go out. I actually remember once, after praying, I said, let all of us go out. Some people, we knew where we were going to meet. Some people entered their cars, they didn't arrive there. They just drove away. Brothers and sisters, we are not being called to be crucified. It's just to tell others. Even the lepers, when they got to a place and they saw a lot of food, they went to call others. God has saved you. And he wants to bring others in using you. Praise the Lord. The Lord is doing the same thing now. He's sending us to go out to work in his harvest field. He had 12 disciples. One was the treasurer. Matthew was a former tax collector. There were others there. There were the sons of thunder, John and James. He had only 12. He said, pray. And sent, you know, to the Lord of the harvest for more workers in the harvest field. He got the 12 he had. He didn't say two, stay back. He sent them out two by two. Everybody. Oh, no, I'm the treasurer. No, you are going. No, I'm in charge of this. No. You go two by two. I give you the authority. Just go. Tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near you. The cloud did not break in. The message, the life, Jesus being the life, was there. That the good news that Jesus is telling us to take out to people. If you love your mom, the best gift you can ever give her. If you love your dad, the best gift. If you love your son or your daughter, tell them about Jesus. Because they knew when you were naughty, they knew everything, they know everything about you, they may laugh at you. Don't worry. Laughing at you, what does it take of you? You know? We thank God. But when they get that message, be praying for them. God will use it to transform them. God will use it one day, and they will open their hearts and give God the glory. You see, God is what whoever God has put in your radar, whether at work or at home, he wants to demonstrate a life led by the Holy Spirit through you. So you have to be vigilant and seize the opportunity, you know, to tell people, you know, to pray for their needs, share your testimony, and ultimately explain the gospel to those who are interested. We have some tools already. If you are a Christian, you have a testimony. Once I was like this, God transformed me. I'll, you know, share testimony, offer to pray for them. This is what Jesus has sent you. You see, one secret is that when Jesus says you should go, you don't feel heavier and walk like this. Tim, why are you walking like that? I'm carrying the anointing. No. Use the same weight. You don't feel anything. You don't feel cold. You don't need a jacket. You feel exactly the same. Jesus saw the crowd. The disciples also saw the crowd. They saw the crowd as normal. But Jesus knew the hearts of the people. Don't you hear in the news where multimillionaires commit suicide? I think one of the richest people in Canada, they saw him in his basement. The wife was shot and he himself was shot, and there was a gun there. And you are thinking, whoa, multimillionaire, give me the money. He won't give you the money. But you see him, big car, big house, big money, donating a lot. He was harassed. It was jealousy. You know, one of the books, Macbeth, there's no act to find the mind's construction in the face. What is happening in the heart? You can't find it in the face. You know? So people can look cool, but inside, they are not cool. The only person that makes you cool is Christ. Coolness from inside. I don't have time to tell you what happened to us at about 2 a.m. this night. God just took over and gave us peace. Incredible disturbance from abroad. We don't know where, we just have the number. God gave us so much peace that I would not have been here. Your mind was supposedly this is it. Say no, God's peace just overwhelmed us. Maybe another day I will share it. But just this night, that is the personal enjoyment the Lord wants to give you, that His Spirit will come and remain. You see the people that were singing? They are ministers. You see me? I'm a pastor. You see, there are some people you don't see up there. They are facilitating everything, including you. We are changing. Nobody is perfect. It's working in us. We are not what we were 10 years ago. We are thanking God. He's working in us. The important thing is that we come to Him. We come to Him. Jesus, I come. I find this difficult and He helps me. After some time, get over it. Don't be too hard on people when the Lord has shown you love. He loves you the same. He's the same Creator. Praise the Lord. Even in the church, you can do evangelism. How? It happened to me one day. Also in our previous church, we had something and we invited some people. The worship team had ministered. And then, some people, as soon as you say the grace, they're out through the door. So one man, his name is Stan Mumford, is going to be with the Lord now. That's why I put his name on that gallery. He was over 70 years old. And anytime I said, let's go out, he will go. Door to door. I looked at him and said, wow, when I'm 70, will I be doing this? So that man made an impression on me. So we were always sitting at the back. So there was this visitor. She got up and wanted to go out. I said, I followed her. How were you? He said, fine. How was his meeting? He said, fine. I said, will you come again? He said, maybe. I said, is there anything you want me to pray for? Then she stopped and looked. She said, there's a biggie, big one. I said, what? She said, just take my number. at that time, we were praying and fasting. So I called her, and she said I should come to her house. When I got to her house, I saw, he told me her son was there. I saw the son, but there was another one that was sleeping. And that he had epilepsy, he had many things, about four different things. He had four different consultants looking after him. And that he will wake up at any time and attack anything. So it was so difficult as a baby that he couldn't even say, please let me take to childcare. They won't take him in childcare, even the husband. By the time I met them, they were about to break up. The Lord alone told me at that time. It was on different types of medication which he had to take. The Lord said, I should tell her that stop medication for 10 days. If the child is not healed, call me a liar. I hadn't done it before then, and I've not done it after. That's why I say, when you pray and God speaks to you, you act. I told her, I took a man with me, so we all heard it. I got near the child. The child cried. I said, don't worry. 10 days. He said, this child is on a lot of medication. Stop everything. So she stopped everything. The child was completely healed. Actually, a few weeks ago, she came. She came here. It's a man now. That child is a man. I went to buy musical equipment in Catford. And after buying, I was going away. I heard the voice. Are you Tim? I said, yeah. He said, I'm Jacob. Well, Jacob. He's a man now. So, in the place of prayer and obedience, I'm not unique. I'm ordinary. In the place of prayer and obedience, God will use you. God will glorify his name. All the glory goes to him. You remember the day I said, at the first secretary of the church and the treasurer, they came and sat here. Yes, that was the woman and that was the man. What happened? The husband came, he's an American. He came and said, tell me anything, I will believe. He gave his life to Christ. Doors opened, we went to preach in different places. They put it on satellite. Then I said, just don't mention my name. All the glory goes to God. Don't mention my name. I just obeyed the Lord. I was not the doctor. I was not the Lord. I was even hungry because I was fasting. So I just delivered the message. Brothers and sisters, the call is to pray. When we are called to pray, don't disappear because we don't put, no, we will never write names. But just spend time to pray. Pray for yourself and pray for your brothers and sisters. God will give them various things. God, pray for yourself and pray for them. And you will see transformation. This happened in the church. If someone just leaving, So we face various situations. Ask people around today when you're having tea and coffee, how are you? They may say, I've not slept. Why? Father-in-law has been ill. Can we pray together? If you didn't ask, they won't tell you. So that's what the evangelist does, the witness. We'll talk to you. How are you? So that they'll take you higher. That is, if you're okay, fine. Bless you, we laugh. But if you are feeling down, I encourage you and pray with you. So by the time you leave, you say, wow, yeah. It's God that does the blessing. My own is to pray. But I come, I prepare, but make sure I am okay by saying, Lord, forgive me. Make me the person you want me to be. Help me. If there's anything the Holy Spirit ministers to me, I ask, I deal with it. I deal with it. So, as I begin to round up, what are some practical applications that we should hold on to here. One, get involved in united prayer for the lost. I told you the lost are so close to us. They look like us. They are family, they are friends, they are people outside who don't know Jesus. Get involved. Pray personal prayers and corporate prayers. Pray for them. Two, ask God to give you genuine compassion for the lost. That's, you know, you same old, same old. You get used to some people. You know, going out, take the same bus. When I was working in Woolwich, I was taking bus 51. You know, if you go at a particular time, you meet the same people. You get to know each other, even though you don't talk. You know, you don't talk to them because we enter the bus at around the same time from Upington to Woolwich. And then we come out after working, 5 o'clock, you begin to come back. Get used to people. Ask God, Lord, give me compassion. Give me compassion for the lost. When you see that in a day, a week, you don't even have compassion, just run in. There are many things to occupy you anyway. There's 24-hour television, many channels. There are many things. So you have to pray and ask God. Be intentional. Lord, keep me. I pass these people. I eat with them. I don't even have the desire that they should be saved. What sort of person am I becoming? I don't even care. We meet in Kathmandu, we go to Wapington, I don't even care. Once in a while, we talk about the weather. And the weather is God's own. Anyway, if he likes it rains, if he likes it snows, there's nothing you can do about it. So, I'm not even saying, is there anything to pray for you about? Or come and see, share a testimony with them. Or pray that God will give you a situation that will talk about yourself, how God saved you. And offer to pray for them. God loves every human being you will meet today and you will meet for the rest of your life. And as a Christian, he's called you to bless them so that they too will give their lives to him and be able to pray to him. The third point, continue to be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. As I'm rounding up now, what this means is ask the Lord to help you. It's his power. It's his kingdom. And his promise to help. His promise to help. Ask him to help you. Lord, I don't have compassion for people. Help me. Lord, I don't feel. Just open your heart to him. Ask for help. And wait. And you will see, help will come. Praise the Lord. And let's see what happened to you know, the early church. And we can read this in Acts 13, 1 to 3. It says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the tetrarch, and Paul, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had prayed and fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Praise the Lord. Yes, these people were already active in the church. But they were fasting and praying, and the Holy Spirit said, just like during 2 days ago, during this time of prayer and fasting, God helped us to have a tremendous shift. You know, for about 10, longer, for 12 years, we've had a barbecue, not so? A very famous barbecue on a Saturday. Now the next one is Sunday July 22nd. Praise the Lord. It's going to be, we're going to have, you know, the worship team play. We're going to do a few things. Okay? We're going to have a short word, and we're going to have barbecue. And all the face painting, bouncy castle, and different things. Thank you very much. Did I bounce? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Actually, when they finally put it, I will go there and bounce. To make sure I'm there. If I'm bouncing on the hard ground here, yeah, I have to bounce on it. Yes, it will be a big one. You know, the one we get, adults can go on, but no, adults, don't go on it. Yes. So, it will be on 22nd of July. God, the way God did it, not just for this one year, the next year as well. In fact, we'll see how it goes after 2019. Because it's incredible. So, begin to pray. Invitation cards will come out. Invite people, especially people who don't know Jesus. Let them come and be blessed. Okay? You will have the worship team. You see the worship team. Incredible. Continue to pray for them. Amen? We'll bring out our best. They are very good anyway. We see, they will come here. People will minister. And then we'll have the barbecue. Big, you know, I went to a meeting and the policeman that covers the area, his name is Neil, and he was suggesting things, how they can make things better. And he said, King's Church has a legendary barbecue. But it's true, because I don't go to barbecues, I think there's one I've been to, but it's not even as good as this, where you eat as much as you want, you have dessert, you have different things coming at different times, all free. You have games. It's unique. So, 22nd of July, begin to tell people, begin to invite your friends. It will be cool. It will be nice. Pray for God's blessings. And pray. Why do you do this? They can ask questions then or after. We just want to bless them. We just want to bless people. That's what the church is meant to do. But let's look at this group of people. Verse 1 of Acts 13. So now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, this Barnabas was a Hellenistic Jew from Cyprus. He had a different ethnicity from Paul. Simeon, called Niger. See, Niger is a well-known name that Romans called blacks. You know, it's black in Roman. Niger. Yeah. So, Simeon. Lucius of Cyrene. Cyrene is from North Africa. The Manain, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, a member of the royal family. And then there was Saul, a Jew from Tarsus. You see, different people. That's how heaven is, isn't it? Different. Something that some people can say, okay, I want to live in Seven Oaks, I want to live in this, I want to be this. I want to go to a black church. I want to go to a white church. No, no. There's only one heaven. You have to give credit to people. They have not said they want to go to a white heaven or a black heaven. They know. They all know it's one. Okay? No, nobody is guilty of that. So, all of these people were worshiping together. That is why the anointing of God leaves some churches. You become sectional. No, it's for all of us. Different nations. One heaven. See? So God is tying it up with what Paul taught brilliantly last week. One church. Unity. You see? Unity. Not uniformity. Just unity. One church, one body, one heaven, one Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us get up and pray.